Murphy knelt down next to me and ruffled Mouse's ears. He gave her a miserable look. She held up Morgan's gun. 25 caliber, she said. Big as he is, wouldn't have been easy to kill him with it, even on purpose, she shook her head. Or Molly, for that matter. Meaning what? I asked her. Meaning maybe Morgan didn't intend the attack to be lethal. Maybe he used the smaller weapon for that reason. He used the smaller weapon because it was the only one he had, I said, my voice harsh. He'd have killed Molly if he could have. Murphy was quiet for a moment before she said, That's attempted murder. I glanced up at her for a second, then I said, You want to arrest him? It isn't an issue of what I want, she said. I'm an officer of the law, Harry. I thought about that for a moment. The council might, they might, respect it, I said quietly. In fact, I'm certain they would. It would be the Merlin's call, and he'd love nothing better than to buy more time to work out how to get Morgan out of this mess. But others wouldn't, she said. Madeline and Shagnasty sure wouldn't, I said. And if Morgan's in jail, there's no way to force Shagnasty into a confrontation where I have a chance to take Thomas back. I looked at Mouse's wound. Or trade him. You'd do that? She asked. Morgan? For Thomas? I shook my head. Hell's bells, it would make a mess. The council would go berserk, but Thomas was my brother. I didn't say it. I didn't need to. Murphy nodded. Molly reappeared with the things I'd sent her for, plus a bowl and a pair of needle-nose pliers. Smart girl. She poured rubbing alcohol into a bowl and started sterilizing the suture needle, the thread, the scalpel, and the pliers. Her hands moved like they knew what they were doing without need for her to consciously direct them. That probably shouldn't have surprised me. Michael and Charity Carpenter's eldest daughter had probably been taught to deal with injuries since the time she was physically large enough to do so. Mouse, I said, there's a bullet inside you. Do you know what that is? The thing that a gun shoots that hurts? Mouse looked at me uncertainly. He was shaking. I put my hand on his head and spoke steadily. We've got to take it out of you or it could kill you. It's going to hurt, a lot. But I promise you that it won't take long and that you're going to be all right. I'll protect you, okay? Mouse made a very soft noise that only the ungracious would have called a whine. He leaned his head against my hand, trembled, and then very slowly licked my hand once. I smiled at him and leaned my head against his for a second. It will be all right. Lie down, boy. Mouse did, stretching slowly, carefully out on his side, the wounded shoulder up. Here, Harry, Molly said quietly, gesturing at the tools. I looked at her, my face hard. You're doing it. She blinked at me. What? But what I did, I don't even... I? Mouse just took a bullet for you, Miss Carpenter, I said, my words precise. He wasn't thinking of himself when he did it. He was putting his life at risk to protect you. If you want to remain my apprentice, you will stop saying sentences that begin with I and repay his courage by easing his pain. Her face went white. Harry? I ignored her and moved around to kneel by Mouse's head, holding him down gently, stroking my hands over his thick fur. My apprentice looked from me to Murphy, her expression uncertain. Sergeant Murphy stared back at her with calm cop eyes, and Molly averted her gaze hurriedly. She looked from her own hands to Mouse and started crying. Then she got up, went to the kitchen sink, and put a pot of water on the stove to boil. She washed her hands carefully, all the way to the elbow. Then she came back with the water, took a deep breath, and settled down beside the wounded dog, taking up the instruments. She cut and shaved the area around the injury first, making Mouse flinch and quiver several times. I saw her cringe at each pained movement from the dog, but her hands stayed steady. She had to widen the tear in the dog's flesh with a scalpel. Mouse actually cried out when the knife cut him, and she closed her eyes tight for a long count of three before she went back to work. She slid the pliers into the shallow injury and pulled out the bullet. It was a tiny thing, smaller than the nail on the end of my pinky, a distorted, oblong bit of shiny metal. Mouse groaned as she tugged it free. She cleaned the side of the wound again, using the boiled water and disinfectant. Mouse flinched and cried out when she did so, the most agonized sound I had ever heard him make. "I'm sorry," Molly said, blinking tears out of the way. "I'm sorry." The injury was big enough to need a trio of stitches. Molly did them as swiftly as she possibly could, drawing more shudders of pain from Mouse. Then she cleaned the site again and covered it with a small pad that she cut to the proper size, affixing it to the bare shaved skin around the injury with medical tape. "There," she said quietly. She leaned down and buried her face in the thick ruff of fur around Mouse's throat. "There. You'll be all right." Mouse moved very gingerly, moving his head to nudge against her hand. His tail thumped several times on the floor. "Murph," I said, "give us a minute." "Sure," she said quietly. "I need to make a call anyway." She nodded to me and walked quietly to the apartment door, pointedly pausing to close the door from the living room to my small bedroom, shutting Morgan out of the conversation.